All this week, we've marked the anniversary of Hurricane Katrina. The storm caused extensive damage both physically and mentally. It also opened an avenue to talk about issues like poverty and class division that many people in our country have been reluctant to talk about in the past. David Dante Trout is a law professor at Rutgers University and editor of the book After the Storm, Black Intellectuals Explore the Meaning of Hurricane Katrina. He spoke earlier with NPR's Farai Chidea.
You have this amazing picture on the cover. Let me just start with that, where there's a woman who I can only imagine is a survivor wrapped in a blanket that is also an American flag. What does that picture mean to you, and why did you choose that for the cover of your book?
We were very fortunate to find that photograph. I think it first appeared in Time. For me, the photograph is symbolic of a kind of weary citizenship that you saw so much evidence of among the survivors of Katrina, and also is reflective of the condition of African Americans in our history in this country. You've paid your dues, you've paid your taxes. You should be, after all this struggle, a full-blooded citizen, and yet you cannot help being in these situations where you are asked to wait and wait and wait and to call upon resources that for most people would be threadbare at that point. And there she was in front of the convention center, having been asked really to go far beyond most people's resources yet again.
You have a bunch of prominent and emerging academics, everyone from Derrick Bell to Charles Ogletree, Michael Eric Dyson. How did you choose the people to contribute to this? And why are Black intellectuals really needed at this point in time?
Well, Black intellectuals are always needed to help America understand itself and its crises. Katrina was yet another instance where it was very clear that despite some well-intentioned promises made by major national spokesmen that we would engage in this terrific, though difficult, national discourse on race and class, it was not likely to materialize. It has not, for the most part, materialized. And so it was important, I thought, to try to put together a group of Black intellectuals who could talk with a kind of intellectual ambidexterity about two, three, four things at the same time, which is what this crisis requires.
You have an essay by Catherine Russell Brown, While Visions of Deviance Danced in Their Heads, which gets to the whole issue of crime. And we had a conversation on this week with an editor at the Times-Picayune who admitted that a lot of the reports about crime were completely overstated. And what do you think that the whole Katrina, poverty, crime, media mix has to say about how our priorities are in this country?
Well, I think it's all very reflective of an ingrained ignorance, a willful ignorance, if you will, about the nature of poverty in this country, how it came about, at least in its entrenched urban forms, and how it's sustained across cities in the United States. One of the most important ways to sustain it is to figure out ways to ignore or devalue poor people. And the way that that has been most consistently accomplished in this country is to criminalize them. It makes it easier not to care about them. It puts a distance between us and them, and it makes their issues not our own.
When I first went to cover Katrina, I went, you know, right after Katrina, 6 months later, and then again for the anniversary. And I was staying while I was in Baton Rouge for the first trip in the house of a very lovely woman, and she thought race was a factor. She happened to be white. But her friend, who was also staying with her to volunteer, was like, it's absolutely not a factor. And she also was white. Is it important to try to convince people who don't think race is a factor that it was, or is it a lost cause? Because some people may not ever believe that race was a factor in how the government responded to Katrina.
Well, this question goes to the heart of what a complex opportunity Katrina raises for American consciousness and for the whole way that we engage in the process of planning and residential organization. Yes, we have to, up to a point, continue to press the racial dimensions to the tragedies that unfolded in New Orleans and across the Gulf Coast. But we don't want to get lost in that debate. As Adolph Reed suggests in the essay that we republished in After the Storm, race is not often a rich enough lexicon in this country to achieve the level of depth and nuance that we need to achieve in discussing why this happened and why it cannot happen again. And so it's important to a point, and then after that, we need to move on to why it is that we have such persistently poor, extremely vulnerable communities in so many American cities. They happen to be black, it's true, and the reason that they are black goes to a long history of segregation, of economic discrimination, which comports with the black experience. But it is not only the black experience, it is also the creation of the middle class experience. The fact that we have such an American dream and all the amenities that would allow people to escape a storm like this easily is directly tied to the lack of amenities in ghettos that made it so much harder for people literally trapped in poverty to get out. This urban design, this metropolitan design, goes to the core of who we are as a people. It's an indictment of the social contract. It's a real problem in terms of an inclusive definition of citizenship, and that's where the discussion should really take place.
David Dante Trout, thank you very much.
Thank you very much for having me.
That was NPR's Farai Today, speaking with David Dante Trout, editor of the book After the Storm, Black Intellectuals Explore the Meaning of Hurricane Katrina.